And thank you, Greedo Serpentino, for Downtown. The recent introductory song we use, our theme music, poor Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire, having apparently been retired to the old songs home. Nonetheless, we're always looking for a new theme song, so you might find a few different ones coming on at the beginning of this show. This is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. Every Thursday from 6 to 8, every Sunday from 10 to 1:30 in the afternoon, it's Civil Rights on the Streets and in the suites and everywhere you can imagine, or everywhere we can discuss, coming at you. And we have phone lines, and we encourage you to call in. 427-3772 is the number. Looks like we have a call right now.
Hi, caller.
Hello. I just wanted to first say that I really like that song.
Oh, you mean Greedo Serpentino?
Yes, Downtown.
Uh-huh.
There's a couple of things in it that I kind of question a little bit. I think he uses the word pussy in a way that I don't really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Earth Mommer.
Of course.
Another programmer there at Free Radio.
And when is your show, Earth Mommer?
I'm actually doing two shows right now.
Mm-hmm.
I do one at Wednesdays from 10 to 12,
mm-hmm.
or 10 to 1. And I do one on Saturdays, which is my regular show, which has been my show for quite some time, from 3 to 6 p.m. And
didn't I hear you yesterday interviewing Skidmark and the V-Man on the history of Free Radio?
Yes, you did.
Well, I hope that comes out as a CD soon.
Well, I still need to get some more interviews done. I'm getting everyone's stories,
mm-hmm.
compiling them, because you know how everyone has a different perception of reality.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, I did have a question for you based on your show,
mm-hmm.
and the work that you do.
Right.
But it also, of course, involves my own selfish interests.
You selfish thing, you.
Yes, and that is the issue of rape.
Uh-huh.
I talk about rape a lot on my show. And I've just begun thinking about, right now I read some of the disturbing statistics about prosecution and how the prosecution does their job and stuff like that, or does do their job, I guess I should say,
mm-hmm.
in this case as in many other cases. The thing I'm wondering about is rape against women who are homeless.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that makes a case a good case is if the woman is raped in her own home. So that's supposed to be one of the things that helps a case to be prosecuted.
Huh.
So a woman who does not have a home is already one back.
Yeah, one strike against her.
Right. Simply because she doesn't have a home, and if she gets raped and she's not in her own home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also, you know, the trauma that the homeless people have encountered with the police officers makes it less likely that they would report rape.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
true.
Also wondering about, there's something that I'm learning about called re-victimization, which occurs during a lifetime, and it usually starts in childhood with childhood sexual abuse. And I'm wondering if you know any statistics or any, maybe even any of the people that you know, like how many of them have experienced some kind of abuse in their childhood, and also, because it makes me wonder, you know, like, if people are homeless, is there something that has happened to them?
They've lost their housing.
Other than losing their housing.
Right. Well,
you know what I mean? Like, something mm-hmm. like that makes it so it's, like, even harder because I don't know. I feel like there's been a lot of bad things that have happened to me personally,
mm-hmm.
and it's really affected me in a lot of ways that I'm still trying to deal with, and I'm 32 now, and my dad, who first molested me, died when I was 5,
mm-hmm.
and I've had all these other victimization reoccurrences throughout my life, including being beat up by the cops, and it just seems like people, for some reason, people in our society that have been abused are at more risk for being further abused in a lot of different ways, and I'm just wondering if you know any of the statistics on rape around homeless people, including homeless men, and also if, like, childhood sexual victimization or histories, of what kind of histories they have, if they do have any, in fact, any kind of history that's different than just...
Right.
Because
Yeah, I got you. The short answer is, Earthmarmer, that I wish I did, because you know you're raising some interesting questions here. The answer is I don't, but I do know people who might have more of an insight into those questions. For instance, of course, you have your official agencies, which probably do compile.
No.
I understand, but they do compile some stats on that stuff.
Yeah.
But also, this might interest you. I know that activist Becky Johnson, as part of the Huff project,
yeah,
is doing a questionnaire in which she's asking people questions. Now, she isn't asking, have you been raped? Do you have a friend who's been raped? Have you been abused? That's kind of a little too, A, personal, and B, psychological for the kind of questions that I think that she had planned. But on the other hand, she has done a lot of interviewing out there at the Homeless Services Center. And I know that she and other Huff activists plan to kind of pick that up and not only just tabulate the results of the 60 or 70 questionnaire she's already gotten, but...
What's the questionnaire?
It's about how are people being treated by the services, are you being hassled by the police, things of that sort, rather than, you know, your history. I think one of the questions may involve violence on the streets, although, again, I don't have the questionnaire in front of me, but...
I can even imagine the police as rapists in this case, though, you know?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Well, certainly they can be imagined that way, and I haven't heard of any convictions, at least locally.
They raped a prostitute in Chicago.
Right.
And told her she'd never be able to do anything about it. Two police officers on duty took her in the cop car and raped her, and then took her back and dumped her off.
Right.
And
I'm sure
it happens all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Local yokel that I am, trying to do the local perspective, I don't know of anything locally, but I certainly would like to hear about it, if anything has happened there.
Oh, I'll have to, I guess, look into that.
Yeah, definitely, and I'd be happy to hear what you find, positive, negative, or in the middle, you know, on that issue. And again, I'm trying to think of how else, we did do an interview with one woman who was attacked in what appeared to be an attempted rape, and there was a dispute about the what went on, and it was sort of a, you know, he said, she said, or she said, she said, actually, because both two women were involved in this, and there was another man. So, but, I mean, again, I don't have a lot of facts and figures for you. We did that one about 4 or 5 months ago. A woman now lives in Watsonville. Pamela Lee was involved in that whole incident. I think her partner was accused of being the rapist or the sexual aggressor, and she disputed that strongly. Anyway, no, there was some dispute about the facts. So, you know, I think, it's a subject that I haven't gotten into a lot on this show, but I'm happy to, you know, if people can bring me some information on it, you know, I'd love to pass it on.
Well, could you help me out, maybe, and sometimes when you interview people, maybe just ask questions around that?
Because
I know you interview a lot of people, and I'm having a hard time right now with my life, but
mm-hmm.
I really feel like it's a issue that affects women.
Oh, yeah.
The poorer that you are, the worse off you are, basically.
And in prison,
in this
affects
world.
Men, too, mostly, a lot, too, as well. So it's not just, you know...
I see a lot of the kids downtown, and I just wonder, you know, like, what did they run away from, you know?
Well, I'll try to add that to my repertoire. I mean, I do ask them about violence, and I guess they add, have you been raped, you know, as well. But I often feel when I'm meeting new people, it's a little intrusive to put those kind of questions. But, you know, I think that they're important questions, as you agree. I mean, I do agree with you on that, so, as you say.
You could use different words. You can use sexually victimized.
Yeah, I could do that.
You could say sexually abused.
Yeah, actually, I'm thinking of setting up a table downtown again in front of New Leaf at the Yuppie Planter, as I call it, where the area has been fenced off, and part of it is going to be continuing to encourage people to raise the issue of the seizure of private space for the rich or those with money anyway, and driving away the young people. But I'm also going to be looking into seeing if people want to address the issues that are coming up again, or are coming up every night, with the, you know, the right to sleep at night, and the fact that there's shelter for so few, and the fact that the armory shelter is closing, plus, of course, the fact that there is violence. We saw one guy, the one-armed older man, murdered. You know, he was killed a month ago or so, and
By two kids.
They haven't been convicted, but they're the people that apparently are the suspects that are being tried, and they're,
didn't they say that they did it?
I didn't hear them. Lieutenant Habey claims they did, but frankly, I don't know whether we, this being the U.S., I like to go to the trial.
Like those
trial
kids,
first.
I wonder about those kids right there. What were they, obviously they were not living at home, right? They were from Texas or somewhere. What did they run away from?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that we're going to find more and more that people are being abused in childhood, and that's what's going on with our society.
Well, you can ask, you might even try to talk to them in jail. You have a right to try to go talk to them in jail. You might raise that issue, although their lawyer may tell them not to talk to anybody, who knows.
How do you go in to see them? Do you just go say, I'm going to go visit them?
I think you have to know
their names?
I think you have to get on their visitors. You can figure out their names by going to the newspapers. You get the
Right.
And then you send them a letter and say, hi, I do a show on the radio. I'm not interested in, going into the details of whether you're guilty or innocent. That'll be determined by the trial. But I am interested in abuse that people have suffered, and I would like to know if you'd be willing to talk to me about it. Completely off the record, or however you want to say that, and then you have to have them put you on a list of visitors, and they can do that. And then you can get into the jail, and then you have to show picture ID, that sort of thing. So get your picture ID ready, and don't carry any heavy armaments into the jail with you.
Just a little herb.
Herb would be cool, but I'm afraid that they have these rather medieval attitudes toward those things.
Yes, they definitely do.
Indeed.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate the work you're doing.
Hey, Earthmonger, you keep up the good work, and I want to see that documentary when you get it done.
All right.
Or hear it, I should say.
Yes.
All righty.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Free Radio Santa Cruz is what you're tuned to, 96.3 FM. We got an hour and a half ahead of us. I just got back from Frisco Land up there in San Fran, where I picked up the new Street Spirit, the homeless newspaper put out by the American Friends Service Committee. Every month, this paper comes out. It's free to homeless people or people who are near homelessness. You can sell them for $1 apiece, keep all the money for yourself. First 10 you get free, the next 10 it costs you a dime apiece just to make sure you're not dumping them on the street somewhere. And then you keep all the profit. So, hey, good deal. Give a call to 423-HUFF, which is a voicemail if you're interested. I think also Becky Johnson is still the vendor coordinator on that particular project. She can be reached. She's in the book at 429-8529 under the Johnson. She's the only Johnson in the book, and she's also located, I wouldn't say conveniently downtown, but her home is near Denny's, so it's easier to reach her and get those street spirits if you'd like to have something to sell on the street other than simply, wait for Officer Seeley to bust you for holding up a sign on the median or whatever his passion of the moment is. I do mean to single out Officer Eric Seeley, mainly because he has been empowered with this great position of the Homeless Resource Center officer, which additional funding was given to the police department to set up. It's the only thing that I know of that came out of the Homeless Issues Task Force of many, many dozens of recommendations that they made. The only thing that our Crone Council has bothered to do anything about, and I now say the Crone Council, since Crone has been in power since November, and he has the power, as do other council members, to put items on the agenda. If you're listening to me, Chris, now hear this. Crone appeared in San Francisco today to give advice to the Homeless Summit people, but he apparently can't get any kind of homeless dialogue, action, or even carrying forward and fulfilling the past resolutions and promises he has made at City Council and in the course of his election campaign way back in 1998. And, of course, in the course of the Homeless Issues Task Force was a Crone production. It was created because Catherine Byers sold everybody out on the sleeping ban back in 1999 when they didn't eliminate the sleeping ban, even though almost, I would say, three-fourths of the people who spoke at the mic not only urged ending the sleeping ban, but they urged them to go further to modify the camping ordinance to set up areas where people could camp legally, car areas where people could park their vehicles, since affordable housing in this area in this country, for poor people, is a vehicle for many people in many towns. And Crone made some eloquent verbal statements about that. In fact, we may play some of Crone's stuff tonight if I can dig it up. I just, as I said, I'm kind of patching together the show tonight as I go, and I hope I do well enough, perhaps with some assistance from all you listeners out there who want to kind of fill me in on what's happening and give me your thoughts, and that would be a sort of a helpful mix here. But Crone generally has done zero around homeless civil rights issues, certainly since he was mayor, and actually for the year before that, throughout 2001 when Fitzmaurice was mayor, and more important, Crone continues to maintain the Fitzmaurice repressive performance at city council, at which we have all the strictures on media that weren't there before. If you put your little tape recorder at the mic, you will be confiscated by Sergeant Baker, and you may be evicted from the council chambers. Who knows? Crone unaccountably had indeed loudmouthed, but still a man with who should have basic civil rights, Michael Tomasi, had this man removed from the chambers for, well, he began to talk about Sergeant Baker and a problem he had with Baker's apparently targeting him. And I know what he means about Sergeant Baker, because not only have I been personally targeted recently by Baker in two custodial arrests that were unnecessary, which I've talked about on the air, one at the farmer's market and one at Yuppie Planter, when it was still Hippie Planter, but also I have seen Baker's history the last year in his behavior on the mall. So when Tomasi began to talk about Baker, I felt, you know, however rough-hewn and, at times ill-spoken and awkward and even, I don't want to say profane is the right word. It's profane. He uses words, we say shit and fuck on free radio. Tomasi comes across very aggressively, sometimes with a lot of hostility. He's demanded at times that I salute the flag, for example, at city council. I've told him I don't do that because I believe the flag in this is not a symbol of the community and the Constitution, but it is rather, unfortunately, a symbol of the national administration, which is repressive and is conducting a war in Afghanistan and elsewhere against the people of the world, and I'm not about to salute such a platform or principle. Anyway, Tomasi was essentially summarily evicted from city council at oral communications before he could finish his speech, not for any particular speech, but because what he might say about Baker by Crone, the mayor, the great liberal mayor, the man who was invited to speak on behalf of the homeless situation up in San Francisco. I mean, it's really ironic. I wasn't there when Crone spoke. I just heard about it about 2 hours ago as I rushed in, got a couple minutes of tape, which I think I'll be playing later in the show, and then left. But it's a little amusing in one respect, and it's also galling in another way, and it just sort of makes you queasy in another way. On the positive side, Christopher Crone did return a phone call to me last night, after three previous calls, two of which he hadn't returned, in which I asked him for the information about what is going to be on the city council agenda next Tuesday, or actually is now, the agenda is now out, I have a copy of it, but I didn't know it when I called him, what's going to be on the agenda regarding the camping ordinance changes that will be coming up next Tuesday. And unfortunately, he wasn't very clear. He did say that there would be an item rectifying the three-day limit per month in yards. And again, for those of you who don't know, though camping and even sleeping after 11 o'clock at night is illegal everywhere in Santa Cruz on all, repeat, all public property, without exception, and what is a clear criminalization of people for a basic life function, which Crone himself has made a resolution at City Council back in December of 1998 that sleeping is a human right. Yet, it is criminal, and he, of course, if he has introduced nothing to change that in the last year and a half. But what's happened is that a very cosmetic, politically motivated action by three city council members, Porter, Premack, and Kennedy, to allow a window of opportunity for Camp Paradise type experiments in three parks in the city was in a diluted form passed at the last city council meeting. And I'm going to take this call here, and I'm going to kind of finish this in the middle of the call.
Hey there, caller.
Hello, this is Mike Tomasi, that nasty speaking character.
Hey, nasty Michael.
All right.
Before you talk, let me just quickly finish while I have you on the phone what I was saying a moment ago.
Okay.
And then go ahead. So what's going to be happening at the next council meeting is there is, when they made this change that gave Camp Paradise type experiments a tiny window, they also changed the law, which, they said that though we had all thought that churches were places where people, and indeed if you ask any church they'll tell you this, you can park your vehicle here and if you have our permission you can sleep here provided there are no more than three vehicles, 30 days out of every month if you want. The city attorney has, based upon his misinterpretation and his misplacement of a sentence 3 years ago when the camping ban was being amended, he made it so that it could only be 3 days per month in churches, in business parking lots, and in yards. And so what's coming back is that Kennedy was making it like there's a big reform by letting people sleep in churches as they always do, and church parking lots, I should say, in vehicles, for 30 days if the church gives them permission to do so. And not many churches do, so it's not a very big deal. But now we're coming back to deal with the other problems around yards and business parking lots, which essentially people have been sleeping in those places without, hassle, because that's what everyone always thought the law was. But apparently Barisoni, as I think it, screwed up, and the council, instead of just striking that last time, is going to make us go through a whole ordeal again this next Tuesday, and then the Tuesday, two Tuesdays down the road, because you have to do this twice in order to get this thing passed. Michael, thank you for allowing me to get that out on your time, and welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Barzoni's a Nazi. But anyway, mm-hmm. I say that on Free Radio because it's the truth. He was a friend of my family, and my family were Nazis.
Mm.
But anyway, I called you to find out about these girls that were beat up by Butchie Baker.
The girls were beat up by Butchie Baker?
Yes.
Right. And what girls are these?
This was years ago. I want to know if there was a girl by the name of Alice Knoth that got beat up by Butchie Baker.
Okay, well, the women that Baker was called on the line for, and this is public record, he was not called on the line for beating them up. He was called on the line for sexually inappropriate searches and feeling, when he was patting them down, things mm-hmm. of that sort. They complained that he seemed to have a special interest in their breasts and other body parts that police officers are not supposed to do on public time without the consent of the other person, if you understand what I mean.
Okay, but
It wasn't an assault, as far as I know. I've not heard that Baker has assaulted women. That is not true. Let me put it this way. If you know that, then you know more than I do.
Well, you know something? This is really remarkable. But all these cops that are bothering me bothered me one time in my life or another.
Mm-hmm.
For some ridiculous thing, as usual.
Now,
Mr. Butchie Baker, mm-hmm. if you can find out if he ever arrested a lady by the name of Alice Knoth, I can tell you how he did it. You see, he was over here off of Alamar Avenue by Safeway store by the field. He told this lady, "Come here, bitch. Come here, you fucking whore." And then she ran off.
How do you know this?
Because I seen it.
I mean, you were there when this happened?
I wasn't. I was 50 feet away from it.
When did this happen?
I don't know, many years ago.
Ah, it's like this when you were here, you're in town at that time.
No, I have been in town all the time, believe me. I've been in town every time the police have killed the homeless, every time the police have done anything in this town, I've been around. I'm from the west side of Santa Cruz, and I'll tell you what, these are the cops that deal here. And if Mr. Butchie Baker did bust a lady named Alice Knoth, after she ran from being afraid of this cop, he drove up to her, opened his door, jumped out, attacked her, and beat the shit out of her, man, and gave her a black eye.
Now, how far away were you from...
Now, you know, this is really remarkable.
Slow up. How far away were you when this incident happened?
Oh, 50 feet.
And what time of day or night did it happen?
It was nighttime.
And did, you know, was there anybody else there but you, he, and the woman?
Just me. And uh-huh. him and the woman, uh-huh. because that woman happened to be my woman, but she was running away from me because she was all crazy in the head, which she was a little idiot, But you know something, man, I really love that lady. And if you find out that Butchie Baker gave her that black eye, believe me, man, there ain't a fucking court in the world that's going to help that motherfucker. Because I'll tell you what, he doesn't deserve to be a police officer, the shit he does. Mm. The shit he does to everybody, not just me, everybody. He is not above the law.
Well, let me ask you this, because I was, as you know, I was talking about you a moment ago, Michael, regarding the last...
I know, man. I don't quite like the way you were talking about me.
Well, either. I understand. You know, you may not agree with my perspective, and you have a right
to
differ.
And I'm going to tell you about the flag, too, mister.
Well, before we get into the flag...
I never asked you to salute the flag. I asked you to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag with me for my battery that died in Vietnam, for the war that you protested.
Uh-huh.
Just like you protested... I tell you what... I protest this war in Afghanistan.
Good for you.
Because I'm telling you, it's a barbaric bunch of baloney. Hey, these people's minds are so far...
Well, Michael, so let me jump back to what happened at last council meeting, because you were removed from council chambers.
Not by Butchie Baker, because he didn't even show up, because I was going to... Okay, you know what I went to for?
No, you weren't removed by Baker, but you were talking about Baker when you were ordered removed. I think it was by Officer Brandt who removed you.
Yeah.
What did was it you said that the council that so upset Officer, Mayor Crone...
Mayor Crone is totally afraid of everything I talk
about. Well, do you remember at what point he cut you off and ordered you removed? What were you saying? I suppose I can get the... Actually, I'm getting the tape for that.
Well, I can tell you exactly what I... Because, you see, I have a mind.
Mm-hmm.
What I said was Mr. Baker was not there for me to crown him petty cockroach. Because a petty cockroach, my friend, is a cockroach that lives and swelters themselves in shit. You got it? Because I'll tell you what, anything
so,
that...
I don't recall you actually saying that, but that was the sort of thing you were saying, and that was the thing that was offending the council.
No. I didn't say anything to offend the council. The only thing I wanted to do was stand up for my rights to talk.
No, I understand, but I believe I'm pretty close to being an absolutist in First Amendment free speech. On the other hand, you know, if you speak in a fashion, as I was saying earlier, that some regard as belligerent, and you often do sound that way, I got to tell you, no offense meant to you, Michael.
Robert,
I know you say I love you afterward, but still...
Robert, I have a reason to be belligerent.
Why? I know you do.
For everything that I do and say. You see, because if I wasn't belligerent, they wouldn't hear me. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is they don't hear you anyway. And also other people think, who is this nutcase who's shown up at the mic? You know, that's the problem.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can call me a nut, you can call me anything.
What I'm saying is that's the perception of some people.
But, I'm telling you.
And if you, I mean, you're a man who lives outside, you see a lot of things, you've your eyes are on the street frequently. I just want to make sure that your accounts, your accurate accounts, do get out, and that they're not discredited by a belief that you're, you know, a wild and crazy loony, you know. That's the problem. Yeah,
hey.
You see what I'm saying, right? You understand?
If I walked up to those cops and I didn't, and I wasn't belligerent, number one, I was trying to make them understand what hate was. And I believe for a while they didn't think I liked them very much. Now, I can't hate nobody. And I can't get Butchie Baker's badge and take it away from his little boy. You see, you know what this man did? This man cut my, gave me a flat tire while he was taking his rag and going up over the top of my toilet to get his shit sample and wipe it all over my thing.
This sounds pretty funky, man. I'll tell you what, it's not that I'm willing to go into these fecal matters on the air if necessary, but can we kind of cut to the chase on this one?
Well, we can cut to the chase. Mr. Butchie Baker believes he's above the law. Mr. Butchie Baker believes he can set people up. You know something, man? I had two other police officers that were there when he was giving me the ticket.
This is a ticket for?
The ticket for my motorhome dripping shit out of the motorhome.
So he claimed that there was a leak in your sanitation system, and the other
right.
officers disputed that, or didn't told you that was not necessarily the case, right?
No, but I tell you what happened.
Yeah.
I left the city council meeting. I was going, I went and got me a cup of coffee at the 7-Eleven. When I was going down Washington Street, I saw Butchie Baker. I saluted him, and I drove on. All right? After that, when I pulled into the parking lot at Lighthouse, a police officer appeared. He parked his vehicle in front of my motorhome. He says, I'm not holding you here. You can go anywhere you got what you want. He stood outside my window and looked at everything that I did. I took off my badge. I took off my hat. And I thought I was going to kick Butchie Baker's ass because I didn't break no law. I thought he just wanted to mess with me because I tried to let him know that he wasn't above the law and he couldn't misplace his car halfway in the parking place and halfway out. So he got mad at me.
Oh, this was Baker who had parked in front of your vehicle or
Sergeant,
somebody?
No. Sergeant
Baker. You know what I'd like to do is work this off the air sometime because we've taken a lot of time with this. So summarize in the next 30 seconds or so
what you
want to say.
I'm going to talk about. Now, after that, this cop held me there.
Right.
Then I had to wait 15 minutes for Butchie Baker to get there. Then he came with a camera and took pictures and even took the lens cover off the camera, like, you know. And then he did all this stuff. And then I asked the two police officers to look under my car to see if there was any shit coming out. There was nothing coming out. They didn't look. Mr. House and this other, I don't know who they're really cool dudes.
So this is the ticket you went to court for today, right?
It's the ticket I went for today, yeah.
And this is not the ticket this was the ticket you were referring to, but this didn't happen after that last council meeting. This happened some time ago.
This happened before I went to the last meeting, got kicked out.
Gotcha.
See, that's why I wanted Butchie Baker to be there, because I wanted to know what the hell he thought he was.
Right, well, there's, you know, you can't, police officers unfortunately won't engage in these kinds of, they won't, even if you're right, they're not interested in being confronted on these issues. And often, you know, you are very strong in your speech on these issues. I mean, you know, you say things that ordinary middle-class people find very uncomfortable, and some of us, even if are us grittier former middle-class people, find difficult to deal with, too. But I appreciate your calling in, and calling again if you want at some point, but I got
to
go.
The next time I go to the court, man, I'm not going to be the king of trolls no more. I'm going to be something else.
Whatever.
I'll give you a speech that'll blow your mind.
Okie doke. And that was Michael Tomasi on Free Radio Santa Cruz, who says we're not free speech radio. Sometimes I wonder. 96.3 FM is our number, and our phone number is 427-3772. Let's have a little musical break here.
And midnight blue Buick Rivieras with gold smokes and silver crucifixes. fixes in the mirror. And the town you're brown on a Friday night. All the signs say no cruising zone, but what they really mean is no fucking Mexican zone. Because SJBD will pull you over for being downtown and brown, and for no other reason. And you will find yourself at the corner of 27th and Santa Clara at a McDonald's parking lot, surrounded by four police cruisers, while two bigs in SWAT gear search your car illegally, and a third one frisks you. And now I'm not talking about no pussy little frisk like you see in front of a club. I'm talking about a real motherfucking frisk like they do on cops, where they tell you to spread your legs, put your hands on the hood of the car, and they pat you down so good you think you're getting a hand job. And you know, if they don't find nothing on you, if they don't find nothing on you, for being brown in downtown. Someone's getting beat to a pulp by Billy Clubs in a back alley for being brown in downtown. Someone's getting shot for being brown in downtown. And everywhere, everywhere, everywhere.
And not quite as bad as that in Santa Cruz. Of course, I'm not brown downtown, and so I'm not really qualified to speak about that particular aspect of Santa Cruz. We don't have too many brown folks downtown because it's real hard to live around here if you're brown. If you're brown in the beach flats, you find yourself being relocated out if you've been a part of the Dolphin and Lee complex or the Rex Court complex. As the rents escalate in other areas, and in those areas where they're not escalating, Council Member Fitzmaurice gets Mercy Charity's housing program through, which uses up all the affordable housing money for the next 5+ years, millions and millions of dollars, and the already existing affordable housing in terms of motel apartment type rooms that people have been using are destroyed in order to make way for the subsidized program that Mercy Charities Housing has been pushing for year after year, which will serve less people and which actually destroys more housing than it creates. But if you're brown, that's where you're headed, because this impacted almost entirely brown people, entirely people, Spanish-speaking people from Nicaragua, Guatemala, Mexico, folks, some of whom had lived here for quite a while. But nonetheless, that's what happens if you're brown downtown here in Santa Cruz. 96.3 FM is our station. 427-3772 is the phone number to call. As I said, I just got back from a summit up north. I didn't get a lot of tape because I was sort of running in, and I had to run out to get back in town in time for this show. And I'm going to play you a few cuts. It's kind of a grab bag of stuff. Not as gripping as it might be, but let's listen to some of it, and then we'll hear some more interesting stuff from Los Angeles, which really I think is worth listening to. Well, I'm actually going to write articles based on what I learned down there for Street Spirit, or those articles will be written by myself or by someone else.
It's March 7th, 2002. We are at Herbst Auditorium in San Francisco. It's about 3 o'clock. The Homeless Summit is ending, and we're at the Poor Table. Poor in resources, but not poor in human resources. Talking with
Marty,
Joseph,
and
Tiny,
and observing is
Linda.
Hey, from Santa Cruz. So here is this big building with this fancy summit. What is all this shit happening here? What's going on?
Well, it's supposed to be the place where we deal with issues of homelessness and houselessness. Unfortunately, some of the critique has been that it's more about hearing from legislators and scary people like Gavin Newsom and Tony Hall, who thinks that all poor people should be incarcerated just for being homeless.
The Giuliani solution.
There you go.
So the reason, like how she said earlier, basically, is like we're supposed to be here actually thinking of real solutions for houselessness and for homelessness. or whatever. And to me, the only real solution is housing. That's a thought. But here, there are some good things, and then there are some bad things. Like, there are good resources. There are good, like, if you want to network with people on other issues and organize and strategize better, that's a good thing. But I didn't like how they had the legislators going up there talking. Like, Tony Hall was up there, and he said on stage that he wants to make it illegal for people to sleep on the street.
That's Supervisor Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't these the clowns that posed as liberals and progressives in the last election?
I'm not sure if Tony Hall was. Gavin Newsom ran unopposed, so of course, like, he wasn't running against anyone. Tony Hall, I'm not sure if he was labeled as progressive or not, but I didn't think.
Well, the brown slate was defeated at the last election.
So did I, but there's actually some people who still might carry on and are not totally as progressive, because there's a difference, like, especially if they don't come from the backgrounds that we come from, as low-income people, as poverty folks, as houseless folks, or whatever. Sometimes a lot of them have stereotypes of what houseless people are.
So what's been happening recently, Joseph, here? Have any poor people actually been fed or housed today, or is this just another one of these Coalition on Homelessness publicity stunts that poor is jumping on?
It sounds like another publicity stunt that the advocates and the other folks are just saying, poor folks, we're going to show you something. We're going to have news, press, and then nothing is going to happen. Frankly, I think poor folks got the answers, but the powers that be do not want to listen, and it's always been that way. And until they start listening, things will not get done.
Now, Tiny, you're pushing discs. You got a video camera, and what is actually? Should we be encouraged at what's happening here today? What anything good coming out of this?
Well, you know, notwithstanding the criticism, I actually think there's an interesting paradigm when you get poor people in a big institutional building. They make an impact.
Taking over the building tonight.
There you go. I mean, this is housing. I'm looking around and I'm seeing some housing, okay? I'm seeing about four stories of housing, in fact. You know?
Well, the next one's got gold on the gold leaf, so we want the gold leaf.
Hey, and if it comes to it, we can always shave that up and sell it at the pawnbroker. So there you go.
Anything else you want to say, Joseph?
Oh, there's weapons right behind you. Types of shotguns and...
Right there.
And some locked gates there.
Well, I can climb over those gates and get the weapons through the bars.
So you're suggesting that we arm the people?
Well, yeah, why not? It hasn't worked. Everything's not working there. Economics is not working. We ask, we plead, it's not working. Maybe armed struggle, maybe that's it.
Are you some kind of homeless terrorist?
No!
In a word.
Not me.
Not on tape, anyway. Anything anybody wants to conclude with here?
That you should go check out that Youth Arts Summit over there. That's like the only good thing like going on, like with a lot of things.
Where is this?
It's right there on the side. It's I don't know what they call it. I think it's
pointing, folks, for those of you who can't see.
The San Francisco Commission Gallery or whatever. All the artwork done in there is done by youth or whatever. It talks a lot about incarceration, displacement, gentrification. It's really, really good artwork.
I wish you could see this, folks. It is incredible. Talk to you later. We're talking with
Barbara Anderson.
And you recently did a CD as a songwriter?
Yes, a number of artists in the San Francisco area came together to write songs that address the issues of the homeless. We put together a CD that benefited the National Coalition, 50% to the National Coalition and 50% to the San Francisco Coalition.
But can you pay your rent?
Good question. The next music that's been coming up has been trying to address that issue.
Now, do you have any songs that you know by heart you can whip out here that would give us some sense of the absurdity of the current supervisor's position?
I don't. But I can tell you, I can tell you where to find the CD, and that would be at www.mp3.com, Barbara Anderson, and it will bring up all the information on our project to benefit the coalition, and you will be able to access the music for free or make donation.
No quick, hum through.
More of my, okay.
Go ahead, you can do it.
Look, so many homeless people who need a place to rest their head. All they can do is get down on their knees and pray for this evening's bed. There you go.
Whoa, very nice.
Hey, I'll play it on free radio tonight.
So what station are you on in Santa Cruz?
All right, what's your name?
Bianca Henry from the Coalition of Homelessness.
What's happening with that coalition these days?
5,000 homeless, trying to end homelessness as a whole.
Yeah, it seems lively. And what have you got today after this summit? How much of it did you attend?
I attend basically a lot of the workshops. And we had one here earlier, which was the underserved communities.
And what's come out of this? Lots of blah, 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 or something specific you think that might be of use?
I mean, hopefully it might be of use. That's basically where we organize around to try to get some use out of it and people taking notes and suggestions that they want to give to the city. But it's up to the city whether they want to listen to them or not. So, you know, we don't have no control over that.
Well attended by the media?
Yeah.
Free food? Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Anything you want to summarize about what you... Did you learn anything here today?
Yeah, I learned a lot.
Name one thing.
I learned about consensus.
Really?
Yeah.